This message Pastor teaches about tithes, offerings and first fruits. To understand it out of the scriptures, to do it out of faith, so you may be blessed. This message explains the giving of men and women of God from the Old Testament and the New Testament to lay a foundation for your giving to God.
Open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 4, and tonight I want to teach you something which I don't know whether I've taught you at all, but I'm sure many of you follow those principles in the Bible, and that is, I want to title it. If you hear the title, you won't want me to preach. Tithes, offerings, and first fruit. Tithes, offerings, and first fruits. This is a church that does all this. But unless you understand from scripture and do it out of faith, it will not bless you. Because the Bible is very clear, that which is not of faith is a sin. Do you know that? So you can actually give, but if not by faith, you're actually sinning. You can worship, you can pray, but if it is not by faith, you're actually sinning. You can actually come into a congregation on a Friday or Sunday or any other day, but if it is not by faith, so our actions need to be a result of faith. Our actions need to be a result of faith. Some basic principles of tithes, offerings, and first fruits from the scripture. Just lay a biblical foundation. And the scripture that we read is the first instance of giving in the scripture. The first instance of the word offering is mentioned here. This is the first time in the scripture that a sacrifice is made unto God. So there is a principle in the scripture which is the law of first mention. It's called the law of first mention. And that is, if it is mentioned, I mean, anything that is mentioned first is of paramount importance in the scripture. It lays the foundation for every other part of scripture that is in line with the same scripture. So here you find two people, Adam and Eve. They are the first born human beings. Not Adam and Eve, sorry. Cain and Abel, the scripture. They are the first born human beings, because Adam and Eve were not born, they were made. God made them. So we are more like Cain and Abel rather than like Adam and Eve. And any human being at any age wants to sacrifice. As a matter of fact, human society thrives on sacrifice. There is nothing that is ever built by man which didn't cost them anything. Came forth by sacrifice. People sacrifice their time, they sacrifice their efforts to bring forth something. So here you find the word offering mentioned there. Did you find that in Genesis chapter 4, 3 and 4? That word in Hebrew has got three meanings. One, it is called, that offering word in Hebrew means a gift. Open your mouth and say a gift. That means it is given willingly. Nobody demands it. Nobody can demand a gift unless it is your wife. Your wife might demand a gift, but that's not a gift. Are you with me? Nobody else demands it. It's given freely. So nobody can say, give me a gift. Pastor, I want a gift. Nobody can say that. There is no coercion. Nirbandhamilla. There is no demand. It's a gift. So anything that you give to God, there are times when God demands it. I'll explain through scripture. But any time in scripture, God, even when he doesn't demand, it is people who love him who wants to bring a gift to him. They say, Lord, here it is. Whether it be your life, whether it be your heart, whether it be your finances, whether it be anything in life, your time. God is not going to come into your bedroom and say, give me 3 hours every day. Give me your whole life. God is not going to say that. There are times he said that to a few people, it's fine. But it is you saying, Lord, this is my life, and this is the way that I want to lead my life. I'm giving it to you. Please accept my life. Please accept what I have. The second meaning in Hebrew is a tribute. That means a payment owed to a higher authority. A tribute, a payment owed to a higher authority. And the third meaning is a sacrifice. That means surrendering something of value. And most of the time you sacrifice to get something back. For example, a mother might sacrifice her sleep to get up early in the morning, make food for the child, get her ready to go to school, because she's expecting the child to give back education to her, come back with a degree. Or to return back as a doctor or a lawyer or an engineer or whoever. You're making those sacrifices. Now, why do I, as a pastor, even last week I was in, traveling in another part of Kerala, in Koyilon, just ministering to pastors from North India and a whole lot of pastors from Trivandrum, Kollam area. It was such a strong anointing of God. The glory of God just came down. They were so hungry. As a matter of fact, in between the message, the anointing came so rich. The men of God began to jump out of their seats, come rushing and just grab me. And then most of the messages, there were people hanging onto my legs, onto my chest, on my arms, and I was trying to preach. As a matter of fact, finally I thought I would end up preaching by being in their hands. Because the anointing, I told them also to lay hands on me, because the anointing came down so strongly amidst the message that there was such an impartation. And today my body, whole body was aching, and I said, Lord, I don't want to go to church today to preach. I want to come and worship. But the Lord said, son, a sacrifice. If you do that, I will raise up a generation that will follow me. Amen. I will raise up a generation that will be an end time army of God, that will move in signs, wonders, and miracles, that will lay their lives for Jesus Christ, that will proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is a reason for the sacrifice. It is to see men and women of God come up in this place to glorify the name of Jesus. Our generation serving the Lord, nothing else. Nothing else. As a matter of fact, after having preached for so many years, you're really not looking forward to preaching another message. You just want to make sure those people, you know, somewhere prophetically or strategically, you lay hands upon them, somebody rises up to serve the Lord, catches the vision, they just go on to explode for the kingdom of God. So sacrifice always is, most of the time, not always, is to get something back. And for 25 years, I want to see people here serving Jesus, your generation serving the Lord. Those who are hearing this message serving the Lord, glorifying the name of Jesus Christ. In eternity, standing forth and saying, Pastor, hallelujah, we serve the Lord. These are the crowns, hallelujah, that we receive as a gift from God. And we want to throw it before the throne of God. We want to give glory to God. We want to exalt the name of Jesus. So here is an interesting word in Genesis chapter 4. It says here in the third verse, in the process of time, open your mouth and say, in the process of time. So right not at the beginning of their lives, Cain and Abel, but in the process of time. You will find in the book of Genesis, people lived for 900 years, 600 years, 300 years minimum. 938 years. Can you imagine that? So in the process of time, which means you could be 100 years old and you're not even a teenager. 300 years old and suddenly you have pimples coming and you're a teenager. Five hundred years old, you are in midlife. Well, 700 years old on, you're getting into old age. Wow. Anybody want that kind of grace today? In scriptures, God has promised us up to 120 years. God has promised. God cut short man's life to 120. 70 and 80 is what Moses said, not God said. Erakudiya 70 80 parnathu Moshe, depression adichu ippa paranjatha 80th vayasilana he started his ministry paranjaalu 120 varayan poi. But in Genesis 5, God cut short man's life to 120. Anybody wants to be 120? Chumma oru amen paranju karthave therunnengi thagartha vidha njan. Hallelujah, glory unto the name of Jesus. Amen. So in the process of time, we do not know exactly when, but at some point of their lives, I do not know whether in their teenage or whatever, they both began to come before God to give an offering. And the Bible is very clear. The Bible says God did not respect the giver and the gift, that is Cain. Cain brought an offering. It is just not about the offering, but God did not respect him or his offering. Oftentimes in Sunday school, they used to teach before, that is because Cain brought rotten tomatoes, rotten cabbage, that God did not like. We did not know. But the Bible says God did not accept that offering.
See, God does not look at what you have in your hand, but when you give, God actually looks into your heart. You can give a check of $1 million and have a heart that does not love the Lord or does not want to honor the Lord, but just want to have your name come up in a newspaper. Or win the respect of people. But here is Abel coming forth with a sacrifice.
Look at somebody and say, be an Abel.
And that sacrifice is very clearly mentioned here. It says there, and Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, or the first fruits of his flock. The firstborn of his flocks. There is a quality and quantity description in that scripture. Abel brought the firstborn. Now we have this religious mind that there was an altar built and one lamb was brought and kept there. But that's not what the scripture says. Like I said, in the process of time. So Abel is a shepherd. We do not know 20 years, 30 years. The process of time. He's rearing goats and sheep and cattle and deer. We do not know how many generations of goats and sheep and what the numbers. I'm assuming there must have been at least firstlings, first fruit. So if you have a flock, a goat gives birth, the first one, that's for the God. First one of cattle, sheep, goat, deer, every first one. Every first one he's separating. So I'm assuming there must have been at least minimum 2,000 to 3,000 firstlings.
Wow.
Because goats don't give, 10 numbers. It's not the tithe. So must have been 2-3 goats, each one giving birth. And out of that, the first one means 25%.
There goes our 10%.
Nearly 25%. 2,000 to 3,000. Can you imagine coming before God with a sacrifice? And God was pleased. Quantity and quality. It says that, look at that scripture, 4th chapter, 4th verse. It says that Abel also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat. Quality and quantity. He brought the best.
And the Lord says, I like the giver. Wow. I like this giver. Wow. Hallelujah. I want to be the Abel of this generation. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to be a giver like him. Amen. I don't want to die like him, but I want to be a giver like him. I don't want my brothers to kill me, but I want to give like him.
Isn't it amazing? Those who do not give a good gift to God will always persecute the one who does. Will always be envious of the one who does. They don't give. I'm not saying they don't give. They might give, but not with the right heart. And then they get upset. If somebody else is giving. Even in churches. There are people who genuinely out of their love who bring in an offering before God.
There are people who see that. Okay, I also got to give. Okay.
The second mention of the scripture is in 8th chapter of Genesis. 8th chapter, verses 15 to 22. You can read that later. You can call Abel's offering a first fruit offering. Are you with me?
In Genesis 8, Noah,
he's offering a sacrificing two clean animals each unto God. Let me tell you, they had just come out of the ark. Every animal is supposed to populate this earth after the flood. So what you have in your hand is scarcity. When he went into the ark, there was just a pair of everything. Two elephants, two cats, two... But out of the clean animals, he is wanting to offer unto God. If that offering is not, I mean, it could actually create a question mark over the future of this earth, because there is no replacement. The male goat and the she goat offered. Oh my God, now where do I find another goat now? They were born in the ark, but because he did that, God said, I will bless you. Not only you, but I will bless your generations. As long as earth remains, there shall be, we learned of the scripture before, as long as earth remains, there shall be seed time and harvest. There shall be summer and winter. There shall be. The earth is still blessed because of Noah's sacrifice. Are you with me? Because he gave it a time critical unto God. Even so many years later, the earth is blessed because of what he did. Sometimes I find people who go through Europe, go back and come back and say, listen, Pastor, Norway, Sweden, Germany, those nations are so blessed, so prosperous, and they're not even following the tithing. But you know that those nations were the nations that gave the most for the gospel way back, and these generations are enjoying what their forefathers did for the gospel. Nobody tells you that.
Wow. Praise God. Hallelujah. Nammal kodukkunna offering nammal marannalum thalamurakal kazhinjalum 500 kollam kazhinjalum 600 kollam kazhinjalum marakkatha oru deivam undu. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. അതിൽ സന്തോഷമുള്ള കരങ്ങൾ ഉയർത്തി കർത്താവിന് മഹത്വം കൊടുത്താട്ടെ. ഗ്ലോറി അൺടു ഗോഡ്, ഗ്ലോറി അൺടു ഗോഡ്, ഗ്ലോറി അൺടു ഗോഡ്, ഗ്ലോറി അൺടു ഗോഡ്, ഗ്ലോറി അൺടു ഗോഡ്.
There are some of us sitting here who are beneficiaries of our grandparents' giving. We are beneficiaries, we don't know. As a matter of fact, I always tell about an experience of a man of God up in US. He went to a... Are you with me? Are you... He went up to a place in US and was praying in a house. Two sisters, very rich, extremely rich, beautiful house. And while this man of God was praying, he was a prophet, son of the Lord showed him their father. They were actually from a place upwards of Kanjirupalli, somewhere near Kuttikanam. Poor people. This man was a daily laborer, his father. And this man One day they had no food in the house, it was cold. And a man of God stepped into their house. And all they had was some coffee powder, and that too a little bit. And to honor this man of God, they took the coffee powder, made coffee, and he had two daughters. In that cold, he gave that coffee to that man of God. That man of God took it, he didn't know it was the little bit that they had. He prayed and he walked off. This man struggled to teach these kids. They became nurses. Later on, they went to US, were extremely rich, and they were serving the Lord. But this prophet, the Lord told him, God blessed you and prospered you in this nation because of that offering that you gave on that cold night to a man of God who walked into your house. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, God never, 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 never forgets the sacrifice. He never forgets the sacrifice. Genesis chapter 14, the third instance. You want me to go a little bit more faster, or is it okay, the pace in which I'm going? This is the pace in which the Lord is leading me. Is it okay? Huh? Genesis chapter 14, verses 18 to 24. Again, you can go study all the scriptures at home. It says there, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thine enemies into thine hand. And he gave him tithes of all. The first time the word tithe is mentioned in scripture. Tithes of all. We know the story. Abraham's nephew Lot was captured. Abraham goes with 318 people, brings this man safely, defeats four nations, plunders them, takes gold, silver, flock, everything they had, and including the men as slaves. He's taking them and bringing in food. Melchizedek does not appear before the battle. He fights. But after the battle is over, he comes back with the riches. Suddenly, the king of Salem, a priest and a king, standing there. And all that he says is, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thine enemies into thy hand. That's all he says. If he had said that before the battle, it would have been peaceful. Okay, God is going to give me my enemies. But the king of Salem shows up after the battle. But Abraham recognizes it is God who blessed me. And he gave a tithe. That word tithe means a tenth. Open your mouth and say tenth. It's got another meaning. It means a collection. Say a collection. Amen. A tenth or a collection. Which meant 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Tenth one of the sheep. Goat. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Tenth one. Dove. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Tenth one. Gold. Tenth. Silver. He gave a tithe of all. Can you imagine that? Just not gold and silver. Of all that God had blessed him with. You have 10 pence. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You have 10 shirts. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. You have 10 shoes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, a tenth of all. Did you find that in the scripture? He gave a tithe or a tenth of all. He's coming after victory, having defeated. But everything, the tenth. And every tenth he's put it across, it becomes a collection. Oh, I thought you would be excited. That's the kind of giver that I want to be in. A tenth of all. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory unto the name of Jesus. A tenth of all. Of clothes, of people, of animals, everything. Farming instruments. Everything. Melchizedek did not fight the battle, has not suffered, shows up after the battle, doesn't even speak other than this, giving a blessing. Who worked for it? Who battled for it? Abraham and the 318. But he gives a tenth, a tithe of all unto God. This so greatly inspired me. Wow. And the rest of the 90, when you study the scripture, it is amazing. He gave it to the king of Sodom and Gomorrah. You take it. Look at this heart of this man. You would have thought he gave a 10 and took the rest of the 90. And now he said, king of Salem, I don't want anything because my God will prosper me. You take it. King of Salem, a priest of the Most High God, Melchizedek. There are two offices. One is king. What you give the king is what is called tax. Priest. That's what you call giving tithe. Everybody knows how to give their tax to the king. Otherwise, you go to jail. So you don't have to feel led of the spirit to give your tax. Sometimes people say, I don't feel led to give. Isn't it amazing that people who always speak about being led to give always give less? Or never give? If you don't give the tax, you are in trouble. But nobody puts you in jail if you don't tithe. He was the king of Salem, a priest of the Most High God. Two offices. Jesus said in the New Testament, give to Caesar what rightfully belongs to him, or they will take it. And give unto God what belongs to God. Church, I know you do this, but let me give you the foundation. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory unto the name of Jesus. Glory unto the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Lift your hands and say, Lord, bless my finances. All that you've given me belongs to you, Jesus. I surrender that to you. I give it into your hands. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. We glorify your name. We glorify your name. We glorify your name. Amen. Now, we don't have time to go through all the scriptures in the Old Testament, so I'm just going to the New Testament. In the New Testament, people say we are under grace, so we don't need to tithe. Somehow they think because you are not under the law but under grace, You don't need to tithe. But do you know that grace is actually more severe than the law? I mean, do you really know that? Because Jesus said in Matthew 5, it is written in the Old Testament, in the laws, if anyone commits adultery, but I tell you, you don't have to commit it. Even with lust in your heart, if you look at somebody. So which is more severe? Come on. Is it the law or the grace? It is said that you shall not commit murder. But I tell you, even if you have anger in your heart against your brother, which is more severe? Wow. Somehow we think grace is license to do anything that we want. I'm not able to live right, so I am under grace. That's not grace. That is your grace, not God's grace. That is you giving grace to yourself. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at somebody and say, grace doesn't lower the standard. Grace doesn't lower the standard. Gospel of Luke chapter 2, the first mention of offering in the New Testament, verses 21 to 24. Joseph and Mary bought turtle doves as an offering before in the temple. They brought Jesus and they brought an offering. The first fruit offering. Exodus 13 says that which has come out of your womb belongs to God. The first one. All of them. So he gave. They give. But because they were poor, if you were rich, you would give a lamb for your cleansing, for your purification. But because they were poor, they bought turtle doves. It is not a sin to be poor. Are you with me? But I strongly believe that when you start giving, the spirit of poverty gets broken off. And you are giving yourself the freedom to walk into the prosperity of God. Matthew chapter 2 verses 1 and 2. Offering in the New Testament. When Jesus was born, the kings came, and sometimes we think three kings came, but it doesn't say three kings. It just says three gifts. If Herod had to be upset, there must have been plenty of kings who came. Are you with me? But they brought gifts, and we have this picture in our mind that one gold coin, a little bit of frankincense and a little bit of myrrh was placed. The scripture doesn't say that. It says, look, let's look at scripture. Matthew chapter 2 verse 10. Matthew chapter 2 verse 10.
When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy.
Yeah. Next verse.
And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him.
Yes.
And when they had opened their treasures.
See, when they had opened up their treasures.
They presented.
That word treasures in Greek means actually storehouses. So they actually brought that treasure box, the storehouse. And just opened it up. And just gave. Mary, Joseph, and Jesus went to Egypt later on. They lived in Egypt. Why? Because of all the gold, all the myrrh, all the frankincense. Why? Taken care of. The treasures were opened up. I pray that God, and in the New Testament, Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. If your treasure is Jesus, every other treasure you can open up and say, Jesus, I give to you. Everything belongs to you. Because Jesus, you are my number one. You are my Lord. You are my master. I give you my whole self. Lift your hands and say, Jesus, you are my treasure. My heart belongs to you. Look at one more scripture. Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. Matthew 8, 23rd chapter is the chapter on woes. Eight times the Lord is saying, woe! So if you are there in that meeting, you don't want to be in that meeting with Jesus preaching. You want to be in the meeting where Jesus is preaching in Matthew 5, 6 or 7. He's more gentle. Blessed are. But you come into a meeting in Matthew 23 and Jesus is like, woe to you. Woe to you. Nobody's saying amen to that. Everybody's freaked out. The Lord is saying eight times, woe to you. But look at the 23rd verse.
Woe to you.
Woe to you.
Oh, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites.
Read it to your neighbor. Woe to you. Yeah.
For you pay tithe of mint, anise, and cumin.
Yeah.
And have neglected the weightier matters of the law.
Yes.
Justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone.
See, the Lord is saying, He's not taking away the tithe of the Old Testament that was there in the law. He's saying, these you should have done. Without denying justice. Matthew 23. Are you with me? 23rd verse. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy and faith. These ought you have done and not leave the other undone. So these people, the Pharisees, they were very meticulous. Can you imagine that? Nobody tithes like them. One version actually says, whether it be the salt, the cumin, whatever, the pepper, they would take a tenth of it, a tithe of it. You don't do that, do we? Pepper, not podichittala, pepper. Take pepper, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 for God. Salt, 1, 2, see, they would, even tiny little things of tithing, they're very strict. They would do it tithe. But they forgot about faith, about justice, about love. And God said, hey, hello, what are you doing? This tithing that you are doing meticulously, even of cumin and salt and pepper or whatever, that you ought to do, that is good. But the weightier things of the law, faith, of justice, of love, you should not have left that undone. Wow. Lift your hands and say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Isn't it amazing that many people don't have faith, they don't have justice, they don't do that which is right, and they're still tithe. They were trying to impress God with their tithe. God said, listen, I'm more interested in what is in your heart. Do you have faith? Do you do justice? Do you really love? Say, Lord, I surrender my heart to you. Let me trust you. Let me love you. Let me have justice in my being. Help me to glorify you. Amen. Luke chapter 18, 9 to 14. Luke chapter 18, 9 to 14. There are two people who are praying. And what I like is the Pharisees stood and the 11th verse prayed within himself. Isn't it amazing? He prayed within himself, not to God. Many people's prayer life is like they pray within themselves. They're not unto God. They're just so excited about their tongues. They just pray within themselves. They're so captivated by their prayer. They forgot. And God is saying, hello, speak to me, come on. They pray within themselves. Not to God. And this, and what are the, is the Pharisees saying? Lord, I am not like that other man. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. So he wanted to impress God with his tithe, and he wanted his prayers answered because of his tithe. God answers prayer based on your faith, based on grace. Are you with me? Come on, church. You don't like this teaching, do you? You still with me today? Are you learning something? Look at somebody and say, let this come into your heart. Because this will bless you, this will set you free. Mark chapter 10, we just take two more scriptures and we just pray. Just want to lay a foundation for your giving. That's all. That's all that God asked me to do this evening. Mark chapter 10, it says there, Lord, we have left all and have followed thee. Peter is saying, 28 to 31 verse. Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house or brethren or sisters or fathers or mothers or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospels that he shall not receive an hundredfold now in this time. Houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution and in the world to come eternal life. So God is saying, listen, not 10%. Peter is saying, Lord, we have given up everything. 100% we have given you. The Lord is saying, son, that's the New Testament. 100%. You have given yourself 100%. If you have given yourself 100%, let me tell you what all you have given up. I shall give you 100-fold of all that you've given. If you have given up a home, I will give you 100 homes. If you have given up sheep, I'll give you 100 more sheep. If you have given up children, I'll give you 100 more sheep. Wife, only one wife. Don't give up your wife. Otherwise, everybody would have given up their wives. Take it, Lord. Once a pastor said, bring your burdens to church, give it at the feet of Jesus, somebody carried their wife and came. And there are some wives who would love to carry their husbands also. Don't come to church and donate your husband or wife. Give up everything for you, Lord. Like I said, you won't be poor when you give 100% with the right heart to follow Jesus. 100-fold. And I believe that. I believe that. Not 30 or 60. Praise God. Hallelujah. Across the world, may you have houses and homes and whatever, because you have given yourself completely unto Jesus Christ. Amen. In Luke chapter 21, a widow is giving an offering. Many rich are just throwing in their money in, but a widow gives her two little coins. And Jesus said, she has given everything. Can you imagine that? She has given everything. She is a poor woman. She has given everything. I don't look into the offering box to see how many of you are giving how much. But Jesus was. Jesus was actually sitting by the offering box saying, okay, let me see how this guy is. Okay. And the widow gave everything. I had a problem. Even last yesterday when I was in one of these islands, you know, I was in ministering up near Koilon. You know, the pastor of that church, a poor man, he brought me an offering after the ministry. And I was, should I take it? Ah, I shouldn't take it. And the Lord said, son, if you love the poor, you will accept it. There are many ways to help the poor, but stopping them from giving unto the Lord is not one of them. And that set me free. Because I had a problem. The Lord said, son, they're bringing an offering. Take it. If you really love them, take it. Jesus did not tell that widow, hey, listen, that's your last two coins. Don't do it. Let her put it. I don't believe in defrauding people. Are you with me? This message is not to defraud you of your money. It's just to teach you. Sometimes when you teach on tithing and giving, okay, my God. I thought Pastor was a nice guy. He didn't have this problem like other preachers. Sometimes a doctor has to do a surgery. It is painful, it is hard, but it is to save somebody's life. Sometimes to save somebody, this is kind of hard. You're poor, give to God. It's hard. That's your last 2 rupees, give to God. It's pretty hard, but it's like a surgery. It'll set you free. Are you with me? You will live again. Nobody has given to God and gone broke. Hallelujah. God is going to set you free. You're gonna come out of your misery. You're gonna be set free. If you believe that, lift your hand and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. One more scripture I give it. John chapter 12. A woman comes and breaks an alabaster flask at the feet of Jesus. She gives her treasure. Bible scholars believe it is something which her grandparents and parents would have given to her. It is her inheritance. Daughter, keep it for an emergency. It's a costly perfume box. It's a family treasure. But this woman comes with that. And she breaks it at the feet of the Lord. And you suddenly find criticism in the room. Judas, he says, I'm not with this now. I love this church. I love the pastor, everything. But, oh boy. A woman giving up her emergency fund. She giving up this. It's a waste. That's what Judas said. It's a waste. I've noticed one thing in years of ministry. People who speak about giving to the poor actually never do. We give to the poor also. People who criticize giving, they never do. But she gave. One more scripture in the new Acts of the Apostles, and we pray. Acts 4:32. The first giving in the early church.
Now the multitude of those who believed were one of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common.
Hallelujah. The early church, the spirit of what, why they did everything. Acts chapter 4 verse 32. It says there, and the multitudes of them believed were of one heart. Say that word, one heart. One mind. Neither said any of them that ought to think that he possessed as his own. So look at their spirit. They were not possessive. They were not individualistic. They said, listen, this is our church. This is the body of Christ. I'm not necessarily speaking about our church. I'm speaking about the body of Christ at large. This is the body of Christ. This is our church. It's not about us. One heart, one mind. They see their possessions as belonging to everybody. That's a spirit of love. Are you with me? Love. And they gave. And they gave. So tonight, I want this word. I know 90% of the congregation sitting here, they give, they tithe, but with a biblical understanding, with a proper perspective, saying, Lord, I want to have this foundation of your word in my life, and I want to do things according to thy word to please you, to be an acceptable sacrifice before you. God looks at the giver and the gift. First, give yourself unto Jesus. He wants your heart and all that is there. Where your treasure is, that is where your heart is. Give it unto the Lord. Let's close our eyes and pray. Tonight, lay yourself at the feet of the Lord. You heard about the message on first things first, first fruits, tithes and offerings. Would you give yourself into the hands of Jesus? Place yourself into his hands. Would you humble yourself in the sight of the Lord? He needs you. He's not trying to take your money away. He actually wants to give you. But unless you let go, he cannot. He's not trying to grab from you. He's wanting to release into your hands. But you gotta let go. Open your heart. Speak to him.
and say, Jesus, let the light of your word rule my life. I ask you forgiveness for every time I've been covetous or I've allowed money to dictate my life. Forgive me, Jesus. I give you my heart. I give you my life. I surrender to you. You are my Lord. You are my Savior. You are my God. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Forgive me for all wrong times and wrong attitudes in my givings. Cleanse me, Lord. Help me to have a good heart, a heart that will be of faith, of love, of justice, and doing the right things. Help me to please you with my life. Help me to please you with my offerings, with my tithes, with my first fruits. I surrender to you. Jesus, you are my Lord. You are my Master. You are my Savior. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I renounce the devil. In the name of Jesus, I renounce mammon. I want to serve Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Anoint me with your Holy Spirit. Fill my heart with your love. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lift your hands to him and just thank him from your hearts. Just thank him from your heart. Just offer him your sacrifice of thanks and praise.
Thank you for being here. You have just been blessed by a powerful message from Pastor Rajesh Matthew. We at Cornerstone Church encourage you to join us as we gather in the name of Jesus to worship the Lord and to feed on his fresh word every Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. for the Malayalam services and for the English services on Fridays 6:30 p.m. and Sundays 3 p.m. in the afternoon. You can also watch us live at www.joshuageneration.org, where the services are live streamed and archived for later viewing. God bless you, and remember, we are for signs and wonders for the Lord our God.